Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Now back to 95.7 The Game.
Oh, I like this. Huh? Toe tapper. This one is. Brings me back to my youth. When Jimmy, sitting in the dance floor. Let's clean some things up on the Chilton Auto Body text line. Thanks so much for listening today to 95.7 The Game. Jim Cosmore, Whitey Gleason. On the text line, 888-957-9570. I misrepresented the 510, Whitey, and I want to apologize for that. What they meant was winning the division at 8-8 in the East, not in the West, but in the East. And that could very well happen. It could be 7-8-1 for the Philadelphia Eagles because they have that one tie on their mark. And so you could win a division at 7-8-1, and you're a playoff team, and you could be 8-8 in another division and lose out on a playoff situation. How crazy is that?
I got That's the crazy. Winner of the East finishing, 2-12-2. I don't know. I'd have to double check that. That's what my analytics are telling me at this point.
Solid. Very solid analytics there. We're going to get back into the National Football League in just a second. Whitey, I'm selling my golf clubs today.
Really?
Yeah, I've got my wife and I have a couple of pairs of golf clubs. I'm giving it up. I'm selling the golf clubs. If anyone would like a complete set of Wilson fat shafts, sell them a fat shafts, Whitey.
I know you have a really nice bag. Seriously, I don't know if anyone would want to bet. Maybe they would with your name. I've seen your bag. You have a wonderful, really nice bag. But is it? I mean, it's one thing to sell golf clubs, but the symbolism here, does this mean you are giving up the great game of golf?
Well, I was never really much of a duffer, of a hacker. But I what are you going to do? It's just taking up space. I got to minimize. I got to get things out of my life. Mm-hmm. I've made some mistakes in my life that I'm not going to be able to overcome. And so I've got to start to minimize and try to fix things. And so we're having a little socially distant garage sale. And so if anyone wants golf clubs, come on by. You could buy my golf clubs. You can buy my wife's set has been used once. So if your ladies want to pick up the game, I'm telling you, we got a sweet set of golf clubs. I don't think hers are fat shaft the way mine are fat shaft. But
gotcha.
Hers are special made, so feel free. You can get those. Yeah, that's where I'm at. You're a golfer, right?
I haven't golfed in a while, but as you're telling the story, you remind me of it's a kind of painful memory. My grandfather, Lewis Lundberg, who years ago actually pitched briefly for the San Francisco Seals. He was an outstanding athlete, and he was a golfer. I ended up inheriting some of his golf clubs, and he had these persimmon woods, okay? So they literally, that's when woods were actually made of wood.
Real woods, which I think they should still be playing with in today's game, by the way.
Thank you. Yes. So I had this club, and I've had people tell me, wow, that might be worth something. And I thought, wow, this is great. I took it to the driving range because I thought, I want to hit this thing. And it just shattered on impact.
On sight.
It did. It did. And I almost ran out onto the driving range to retrieve it. And I realized, well, that's not good.
Now it's target practice for everybody.
Yeah. Yeah. Huh. So anyway, good luck with your fat chef, so to speak. And I don't mean anything by that.
No, not at all. But it's a fine set. But I'm just not the player that I want to be, and I'm not going to waste any more money at the range. That's why don't I just throw money outside? Why don't I just go to a range and whatever it costs for a large bucket, just throw it at somebody. Let the wind take hold of it, because that's what I'm doing when I spray a bucket of balls all over the place and it's I hit tough. Some low liners, some worm burners, if you will.
Right, right. If you give somebody who's never played, you say, stand there, you put a golf ball in front of them, you give them a club, you say, okay, go ahead and hit it. Virtually everything that they think they should do is wrong. It's a very counterintuitive, really. It's like, no, you're swinging too hard. No, you don't want to get under it. You want to hit down on the back of the ball. No, that's not where you want to put it. It's like learning a foreign language, and if you don't practice it all the time, you're kind of wasting your time.
You know, yeah. I don't speak Spanish.
And I do appreciate when I play with people who help me along the way, and I'm just tired of people who, you know, just so many wiseacres out there. Yeah. And what's the worst shot? Like, you get a chance to play, we're very blessed. You get a chance to play in a lot of fun tournaments that are really great, mm-hmm. but it's always pressure packed, because when you're teeing off, everyone is there to watch. It's not like you just, oh, let's just go hit some, right? If it's you and your buddies, if you're playing somewhere and they want to see you tee off, it's like, God dang it. I got to hit the thing straight and I got to make it work and I got to not shank it and I got to not hit a participant or something like that. The pressure is too much for me. I can't do it anymore.
Too bad. But if you're not enjoying it, yeah, it's supposed to be fun. So if you're not enjoying it, find something else that is.
Yeah, I'm going to have to do that. All right, let's get into a little NBA, because I know you're a huge NBA guy. You watch NBA TV. It's like a loop for you. Like, out of season, there's no such thing as out of season NBA TV for you, right? You buy into whether it's the Euro League, if they have Australian rules stuff, the Australian Basketball League, whatever it is, you'll watch it.
Yeah, well, that's separate. The Aussie League is a separate package. It's not really on NBA TV, but you can get that. And I will have NBA TV on, and then I'll have headphones on, so I'm listening to it while I sleep. So I find that I actually absorb more that way. But to me, that's the only way to do it. Some think that's extreme. But to your point, yes.
Okay, so you're a big NBA guy. And I know on the morning roast this week, they got into a big discussion over how the Warriors can best utilize the capital that they have in order to get better for now. The Golden State Warriors can think about, all right, let's find some players and keep this train rolling down the tracks for another 5 to 7 years. Or you can push your chips into the table. Let's start winning championships, because our main core, they're not old, but they are now hitting that point of their careers where Steph Curry and Klay Thompson coming back from an injury and Draymond Green, we're all in that, right in that general 30-year of age category, and not everybody's LeBron James. Not everybody gets to 35 and seemingly gets stronger. We, as human beings, start to fall off just a little bit as we get a little bit older. And so on the morning roast, and these guys are doing such a great job. I walk Snickers mm-hmm. every day, and I'm jumping mm-hmm. on radio.com, and I'm listening to Kate, I'm listening to Bonte, I'm listening to Butcher, and they get into this discussion about Bradley Beal. Let's just start with that. I won't even get into the trade deal yet. Let's just talk about Bradley Beal. It's my belief, Whitey, Bradley Beal is the Eastern Conference version of Damian Lillard, in that he doesn't get enough respect. He puts up big numbers. No matter what he does, everyone always says, ho-hum, there are so many great guards in the West, it's hard for Lillard to be an all-star. And in the East, well, you play on such a crappy team, how good can you really be? I love Bradley Beal as a player. Where are you?
First of all, you're very modest, of course, and you typically are when I'm lucky enough to be on with you and you say I'm an NBA guy. And Coase, of course, as you probably know, has worked in the NBA for many years. He's literally worked for teams. He's called games. So when he says I'm an NBA guy, Coase is the NBA guy. I think that's a great comp. The thing about Beal, you may remember March 1st, the Wizards came to Chase last year, and he put on a show. He was in the middle of a real hot streak. Was he auditioning, or was he just playing real well? He scored 34. He had 7 of 9 three-pointers. He had 8 assists. He is phenomenal. There are some real issues with him at the other end of the floor. It's not hard to find people who will tell you, you know what, he could be a pretty good defender. It is hard to find any numbers that say he's a halfway decent defender. I'm with you. I think he's kind of, I don't know that he's a superstar yet. He's about as close as you can be to a superstar without being one, perhaps. I think he's an outstanding, outstanding player, especially at the offensive end. I'm just not sure right now that the Wizards are in any hurry to get rid of him. From what I'm reading and hearing, the Wizards would like one more try with him and John Wall going forward. So I'm not sure how available he is, but I'm with you. He's, especially offensively, he's just a superlative talent.
All right, let me give you a little Bradley Beal. List him at 6'3", 207. These are the last 4 years of numbers for him. We'll go back 4 years, and I'll start there. He averaged a little over 23 points a game and shot 40% beyond the three-point line. Then the year after that, he averaged 22.6, so about a half point a game less, but shot 37% beyond the arc. The next year, 35.6 points a game. Excuse me, 25.6 points a game, and 35% on the three ball. So it went down a little bit, but he's more volume. There's more coming on because Wall had been out, so he had to take on a bigger scoring load. And then last year, he averaged 30 a game. He shot 35% on three-point shots. The guy is a monster on the offensive end, whether it's just in the half-court set, whether it's an ISO, whether it's moving off the ball, which is where I think he would really excel on this team because they pass the ball so well. Bradley Beal is a tremendous scorer in the game, so I like him. So here's the discussion point that was going on in the morning roast this week. And again, you got to listen to him Monday through Friday from 6 to 10 right here on 95.7 The Game.
But, question. Yes. Question. So yes. What kind of dog is Snickers?
Snickers is, well, we got her at Tony La Russa's ARF, and nice. So it was a rescue dog, and mm-hmm. It is a combination Chihuahua Terrier. So okay. There's a lot of nerves in this dog. This dog's got a lot of, you know, it's got a 100-pound bark and a 10-pound dog. So it's ready to go to war at all times. And we're trying to calm the old Snickers down, but, you know, Snicks is Snicks. So, you know,
right. You
just, right. You know, I know we got, Covey's got Knuckles, I got Snickers. And
yeah. Well, I appreciate that. Nuts. I apologize. Yeah, you, the way you painted such a detailed picture, and as I was, you know, following along with you walking, I realized I have no idea what this dog looks like. So I apologize, yeah. But thank you yes. For filling in those details.
Yeah, it's the kind of dog, you know, you try to train the dog, and anytime another dog comes by, Snickers is ready to go to war. It's like sure. This is my turf, and it yep. Is like I'm pulling her on the chain. It's a little 10-pound dog, and it's just going all out, 8 in the morning, going all out, ready to battle. And that's, you know what, we like that. You got to have a little, what is it, not the size of the dog in the fight, it's the size of the fight in the dog.
Fight in the dog, yes.
That's right.
Yes.
Take the fight in the dog. All righty, so let's get back to Bradley Beal. Here's the discussion they're having on the morning roast. Would you do this if you're the Golden State Warriors? You move the number 2 pick this year in a draft that's uncertain at best. There isn't a LeBron in this draft. There isn't a pick your star in the top 2 or 3. There's not a consensus 1. There's not a consensus 2. There's not a consensus 3. Would you give up the number 2 pick in this year's draft? Would you give up, and I always get his first name wrong, Andrew Wiggins, because his dad, Alan Wiggins, was a heck of a player, right? And his mom was...
his dad was Mitchell Wiggins. Mitchell Wiggins was a baseball player.
Yeah, yeah. Mitchell, that's right. Yeah. Mitchell Wiggins. So Andrew mm-hmm. Wiggins, the great Andrew Wiggins, who was a number 1 overall selection from Kansas, and some would argue has never really reached that ability that they thought. He might fit into the Alex Smith discussion. It's not his fault he was taken number 1 overall. But would you also include next year's Minnesota number 1 that the Warriors have that is protected through the top 3 selections? So you'd give up this year's number 2, Andrew Wiggins and that huge contract, and next year's Minnesota number 1 protected to number 3 in the first round, all for Bradley Beal. So you don't think Beal's a superstar yet, but where are you on putting all that out there for a guy like Bradley Beal?
I would do that without hesitation. I don't think the Wizards would, because they're not getting much for Bradley Beal. Bradley Beal, we know what he is, and he can even get better, but we know he is a great offensive player. He's an excellent player. Wiggins is, we're not sure. Maybe he's finally coming around. He's been disappointing. The second pick in the draft this year, maybe you're going to get a pretty good player there. The pick next year in Minnesota, you don't even know how good Minnesota is going to be. So that's a lot of maybes there. I can't see the Wizards saying, yeah, all right. I mean, unless they're crazy over Wiseman or something, which is hard to imagine, I don't think that would be enough, especially considering there are reports that Denver also is pushing to get Bradley Beal. So to answer the question, yes, I would do that, but I don't think the Wizards would be in any hurry to make that deal. I think you might have to give them more to make that happen.
Wow, that is interesting, to give them more for Bradley Beal. And is that because you don't think that there is that super stud at number 2, at least knowing super stud right now at number 2? If there was maybe a better draft class, or considered to be a better draft class, do you think that would be the case? Because boy, you're getting a number two overall, a former number one who can play. And I don't think anyone argues whether or not Wiggins can play. It's to what level he will play at and how interested in the game that he is. And then next year's Minnesota selection, which is only top three protected.
Right.
Well, you could, and how good do you think Minnesota is going to be in reality? Many have them at the bottom, in the bottom three. If you look at, right now ratings of teams, Minnesota's usually in the bottom three going into next year. I mean, you could have a top five pick for Minnesota next year. You could have a top, you would have a top two this year, and you'd have a former number one for Beal. I'd have to seriously consider it if I'm the Minnesota side. If I'm in the Washington side. If I'm determining what I want my future to be, right?
Yeah.
If you're going to recycle everybody, maybe you don't. Maybe you do it, but maybe the piece on John Wall, because you don't know what John Wall is going to be when he comes back, do you?
No, you don't. No, you don't. To your point there, there's a chance Minnesota's going to draft LaMelo Ball. If they have LaMelo Ball and D'Angelo Russell, and those are their guards.
That's fantastic.
The other team's guards are literally going to score every time. It'll be unprecedented. They will never, ever stop the other team's guards from scoring when those two are on the floor. So I don't know that they'll do that. But, Wiseman maybe the number two pick. I know, and I've gotten into it with people on the station. A lot of people think Wiseman, they compare him already to, he could be Bosch. He could be, Anthony Davis or Garnett. And if he was anything close to that, he would go number one. There'd be no question. So, and that second pick, by the way, I agree with this analogy, Coz. You buy a car, get a new car. As soon as you drive it off the lot, it's not worth as much. I think that pick is worth a lot more until it's made. Whoever it ends up being, like if it's Wiseman, trading Wiseman is not as valuable as trading the second pick, be that as it may. I think another reason why that might not be enough is listen to this from Bleach Report. And we don't know if this is true, but a Beal trade to Denver, a proposed deal, the Nuggets would send Gary Harris, Michael Porter Jr., Monte Morris, 2020 first-round pick of the Rockets, top 10 protected 2020 first-round pick to the Wizards in exchange for Beal. So then the Denver would have Beal, Jokic, and Jamal Murray. See, to me, if I'm the Wizards, I find that package much more attractive than Wiggins and the number two pick and the Minnesota pick next year.
Where are you on Michael Porter Jr.? Because when he was coming out, a lot of people thought he was going to be great. He had the back situation, dropped in the draft to, I think, 15, where Denver said, well, we'll scoop him up and we'll make him a redshirt. He doesn't have to play for a full year. Get healthy, come back and play. Do you think he is a serviceable, more than serviceable, future star? Where are you on Michael Porter Jr.?
Well, I know that he's said or tweeted some things that kind of make you go, but I think there were times this year, even before they got in the bubble, there were a few moments this year where he was arguably the best player on the floor. So I think he's, at times, limited minutes. Obviously, there must be something there if the Nuggets would be willing to trade him. I think he has the potential to be a real star, maybe more than that. And I like Harris and Morris, too.
Some things off the Chilled Not a Body text line. And this is interesting. From the 415, Minnesota will not take Wiseman. They've got Karl Anthony, Anthony Towns as a cornerstone on that team. So the Dubs should just sit back, relax, and grab Wiseman at that point. And again, I'm not saying that Wiseman coming into any team in the NBA this year is going to take that team and turn them around and make them super great. And I only have to illustrate it this way. If you go back, and this is going way back, Whitey, you'll remember what I'm talking about. The Houston Rockets stunk one year. They won a coin flip with Indiana, and it was Steve Stepanovich and Ralph Sampson. Those were the two guys that you could have taken at number one. The Rockets won the coin flip and got Ralph Sampson, the consensus player of the year, 4 years at Virginia, great college player, 7'4", handled like a guard. He was going to transform the NBA. He was rookie of the year his first year in the NBA. You know what that got the Rockets? The right to have the first pick in the draft the next year, and they took Hakeem Olajuwon.
Right.
That's
right.
So I'm telling you, a guy taken there isn't going to turn your team around and make him something spectacular. But if you like Wiseman, it could help sustain greatness for the Warriors for the era when Steph and Clay and Draymond are starting to fall off a little bit, and they're not there yet, but it does eventually happen. Father Time is undefeated, and Wiseman could be the next piece to that puzzle. How about this from a different 415? Beal on the Warriors would be a bad fit. It will push Clay over to the three, Draymond your regular four, Steph is the other guard. You have a little bit smaller team. great offensive player, but I think they need defense more. That's in the 415. How about the fit, just positionally, how about the fit of Bradley Beal on the Golden State Warriors?
That's a great point. And obviously, the Warriors right now, you look at the roster and compared to other NBA teams today, it's like, where are the wings? They need more wings. That problem, to a degree, could be exacerbated if you brought in Beal, and then you have Clay would have to play more three. I know a lot of people will tell you, a lot of NBA experts will tell you, and personnel people will say, you know what? In today's NBA, that's okay. Yeah, you'd be a little small. Maybe it's not ideal, but that would be all right. You wouldn't mind having those three on the floor at the same time. And then given their other assets, which is what the TPE and the mid-level, they could maybe address that. I think that's a good point, but I'm not sure, not to dodge a question, I'm not sure how significant that is. I think that's something that they can address through other means. As far as Wiseman goes, I just think, and it's so hard to say now because we haven't gotten to see these people play. People do this every year with draft picks. It's kind of like the backup quarterback is always great. The guy who you could draft is great. I think people are way, way overboard. A lot of people on Wiseman. I think there are issues about the degree to which he can shoot the face-up jumper, which is very important in today's NBA. People talk about it being a rim protector, but there are issues, as I understand it, in terms of him being able to defend the pick and roll, which is much more important. So I'm not sure how good he is, and I hope I'm wrong if the Warriors pick him, but this thought that, hey, you get Wiseman, you got a building block for the future, a future star, I don't think he's that guy.
You know, I will say this, because it's so skewed, that when people start comparing James Wiseman to anybody, yeah. I just turn it off. I shut it off. You know why?
Right.
He played, what, a game and a half with Memphis this year. Mm-hmm. He sat out. You can look at all the high school tape you want. You can say he's the next Chris. You can say he's the next Bosch, but I don't know if he's the next Chris Bosch or the next Bill Bosch, right? I don't know if he can play or if he can't play. So you right. can't tell me, you can't compare him to Amari Stoudemire, or you can't compare him to Kevin Garnett, who went number four out of high school
right.
and blah, blah.
Right.
We don't know what he is. And NBA teams are going to have a tough time determining who to take. I will tell you, if I'm the Wizards, I might not make the deal just based on it's too hard to evaluate talent right now. It's too mm-hmm. hard for me to determine how good the guard from Georgia is versus the big player from Memphis is versus the player who was in Australia for a time before he stopped playing after a while because he was hurt and didn't want to come back. I don't know who's out there. I don't know what they are. This is as big a crapshoot of a draft as you could get the same player at 12 as you got at 2, and you wouldn't know it for another three seasons.
That's why, to me, the proposed package to the Wizards looks better on the surface than it does if you really take a close look at it. Because, the second pick in the draft. Yeah, but it's the second pick in this draft. And if it was really that promising, the Warriors would be less likely to want to trade it away. The Denver package, again, we don't know if this how legit this is, but there are more known quantities in there. To me, if the Wizards at this point are going to trade Bradley Beal, they're going to want to get a lot back, and they're not going to want to take, you know, it's not like, well, let's take some flyers on some of these pieces we have coming back for Bradley Beal. I don't see that happening. But if the Wizards were going to accept that package from the Warriors, yes, I would definitely do that.
This is interesting from the 510. The West is getting bigger. Beal would mean that you're shutting the window on a ring. It would be more years in the playoffs, but you wouldn't be any closer to getting a ring. The West is getting bigger. Now, I know the Lakers obviously got bigger, right? You get the brow, you're a bigger unit.
Mm-hmm.
In Phoenix, they're centered around a guard in Booker, Devin Booker. DeAndre Ayton is there, a seven-footer, but it's centered around a guard. I'm just thinking of teams that are up-and-coming teams. New Orleans, I know that, you know, they've got Zion and a bunch of young pieces. Are they bigger? I'm just trying to determine, is the West really getting bigger, or is it more wing-happy, or could you spread the floor more? Is the game changing so much that you're shooting so many threes that a three-guard attack is going to become the norm, Whitey?
Yeah, wings is the things in the NBA these days. But I will say this. I think if you brought in Beal, that doesn't preclude you from getting bigger in other ways, just around the margins. The Warriors, to me, see what you think of this, Coach. To me, the Warriors deal with their center position the way a lot of NFL teams deal with the running back position, which is we don't have to spend a lot of draft capital to bring in a running back. We can find, look at the 49ers. We can find somebody who's drafted lower and is cheaper and find a way to get maximum production out of that person. That, to me, is how the Warriors address the center position. They brought now, of course, they made the trade for Bogut, and Bogut really helped them win a championship. But I think to that point about the NBA is getting bigger, the West is getting bigger, if it is, I still think you could bring in Beal, and there are still ways to address that position and that issue.
And Marquese Chris is always there to be part of the puzzle. I know he's not a traditional center, but he played some center in certain matchups. All right, we'll get into more NBA, including a new that we now are finding out a date. We heard yesterday a target date. Is that a smart thing? How realistic is it? And we will get into the NBA, and we'll shovel more Warrior stuff your way. Plus, we've got the 49ers and Patriots coming up on Sunday. We'll get back into football. A lot going on here today, and we really appreciate you listening here on 95.7 The Game. You can join us on the Chilton Auto Body text line at 888-957-9570. But more NBA when we continue with Whitey Gleason and Jim Cosimore and you on 95.7 The Game.
Now back to 95.7 The Game.
Quick little shout out if I can. My good friends over at Friedman's Appliance just dropped off a little outdoor fridge that I needed for my little outdoor barbecue area.
Nice.
Thank you for that. I know. I can't. Those guys are great. They're unstinking believable. And this is the way. This is, you know what? Now I'm going to put that. I'm going to plug that bad boy in, slide it underneath the countertop, and I'm going to stack it full of my favorite beverages, and I'm going to kick back, relax, and enjoy myself a little college football tonight. Or maybe a little World Series. You watching any World Series, Whitey?
I am. You know, hoping against hope that Tampa Bay is able to turn this thing around. I'm not overly optimistic, but not a big Dodger fan, but hey, got a, you know, tip of the cap to Big Blue. Looks like they're getting it done here. But this thing is not over yet.
No, it is not over yet. I think the majority of Americans are going to root for those try-hard Rays, and I hope they can make it a series. But I'm going to be grabbing a beverage from my new fridge from Friedman's, and you know what I'm going to get next? And I think I'm going to do this. I don't know if you're much of a griller or a smoking guy. Have you seen the Big Green Egg? Have you seen people with the Big Green? So that it's this grill that they have, and I'm still trying to understand it. I think it's called a Komodo Komodo grill is the technical name for it. The brand is a Big Green Egg, and they sell it at Friedman's. I think I'm going to go get me the large Big Green Egg and start to do some more grilling outside, and I'm going to step my game up, Whitey. That's how I feel right now about my grill game.
You know, I thought it was a great idea. I thought, hey, for Thanksgiving, you know, you're going to have people over, socially distancing, let's rent or get some of those big outdoor space heater, gas flame heaters.
Yeah.
Put those out there, and everyone, we could be outside. The food could come out. And there are, I guess, a lot of people have the same idea because they're in back order. They're hard to find. But that was, you know, hopefully it won't rain because that would make it additionally difficult. But that's kind of what we're thinking maybe for the holidays. If push comes to shove, we'd be outdoors, get some of those space heater things. That way we can socially distance and safely enjoy each other's company for the holidays.
Maybe that would be good.
Komodo egg will be part of that as well.
That would be awesome. Good for you. I like that. Boy, I don't know how ambitious I would be to do a turkey out in the Big Green Egg. I don't think I'm a traditionalist when it comes to the turkey. Just put it in the oven. That's fine. But there are so many people who they brine it, and then what's the one? The deep fried turkey, and then there's turducken. And, you know, we're coming close to Thanksgiving. We got to start thinking about these things. Right, Whitey?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah. Be here before you know it. Last week, it seemed like it was still summertime, and here we are. The winter's chill is nearly upon us.
Well, it certainly is. And that means we're getting closer to NBA season, Whitey. And that should make you extremely happy.
Are we? I hope we are, but are we?
Yeah, well, the NBA is thinking that we may be. As far as them putting out a bunch of trial balloons, we've heard a number of different dates and a number of different times where the NBA was considering when to restart their season and try to get back onto a normalish calendar. And we had heard everything from January, maybe Martin Luther King Day, maybe sometime in February, and they had an alternate plan that even if they had to come back in March, they would hold off and come back in March. But they had a Board of Governors meeting on Friday, and through the Board of Governors meeting, they have floated the date December 22nd as the start of the new NBA season. So when you heard that first, December 22nd, and they did say weeks ago that they were hoping to have fans in the stadiums. They understand that's not going to happen right now. In fact, I think the majority of stadiums right now are under scenarios in their states where they would not be allowing people in. I think 24 of the 30 NBA teams are that way, if I'm not mistaken. But when you heard that December 22nd, Whitey, could very well be the date that they start a 70 to 72 game season, maybe have a little in-season tournament go on. Where were you with the date and the timing and what the NBA is saying?
I'm excited about it. I think it's going to be tough to pull off, but I'm hoping they find a way to pull it off. It's a little strange for me this year. We got the World Series, of course, the NFL well underway, and I just feel like, wow, NBA season should be starting. I'm sure you feel that way too because you've been working in the NBA for years. I understand why we're not, but we just finished, but it's part of me feels like, wow, we need to get basketball going here. So I hope they're able to do that. It's going to be really difficult if they do for all the teams to get everything done that you typically have to get done in an off season when you barely have one. We got the draft. Was it November 18th now is the draft? But it makes sense. And from this standpoint, the NBA, they're losing so much money here, as all the leagues are. If you can have games on Christmas Day, you make up some revenue there. And you also want to avoid having your postseason up against football. So if you start in December, even if you have you may have to have like a 72 game season, but you can be wrapping up the playoffs and the finals before football starts because you don't want that competition at the other end of your schedule either. So I'm excited about it and hopeful. It's going to be tough, but I hope they're able to pull it off.
And we'll try to put some pieces together because it's an unclear picture of what they're trying to do, but they're hoping to start just before Christmas, so December 22nd, they, of course, would have their Christmas time. And they're talking about an in-season tournament and playing a 72-game season. I don't know the specifics of what an in-season tournament would look like at all, if they're able to pull it off. But the 72 games is interesting because not only do they want to avoid Whitey playing up against the NFL season in September and October, the next year is going to be an unusual Olympic year. 2021 will be the Summer Olympics going on in Tokyo. They were supposed to happen this last year. COVID shut the world down. Now they're going to move the Olympics to next year. The NBA sees that as a global marketing opportunity. And it's very important for them to finish up their finals and have players available to go to Japan and play in that Olympic tournament because it does wonders for their global marketability. And I think that's another reason that we see the 72 games played and we see them trying to finish off a little bit earlier. I agree. You don't want to go up against the NFL, right? That's the big bad beast. But getting your guys ready or at least through a season and then having a team available to play in the Olympics, I think that also plays a factor into this. And I wonder if you're a player who went through a playoffs in the bubble last year, how you feel about starting a mere 2 months from today.
Right. And then so presumably players, you just finished in the bubble and then, okay, you're not going to have much of an off season. Then we're going to get this new season started and then you're going to be in the playoffs there and you're not going to have much time off before the Olympics. I mean, fingers crossed that that doesn't lead to increased risk of injury. You mentioned the tournament. That's going to be strange. I just don't think people are going to care about the tournament. I mean, people in some ways barely care about the traditional games in the playoffs. And I know the playoffs were all out of whack here in terms of when they had them. But I can't see them generating any additional excitement in the NBA season with the – you mentioned Amazon earlier. Let's just use them as an example. The Amazon Cup. This first time – all the teams competing for the Amazon Cup this year. Oh, and here we go. It's the finals of the Amazon Cup. No one's going to – the players aren't even going to care, right? I understand that they're hell-bent on this. I just don't think they're going to gain any traction with it, Coase. I hope I'm wrong. I'm excited the NBA's coming back, hopefully Christmas, the in-season tournament. I'd love to be wrong. I just don't think it's going to work.
All right. I want to get into that just briefly because I know there are a lot of listeners, especially in Northern California, where they're pretty worldly here in Northern California. Mm-hmm. There are a lot of Premier League soccer fans who live here in this area, whether they moved here from another part of the world or whether they just got caught up in the game now that it's televised on the NBC family of networks. But there are a lot of fans who love the Premier League, and they've got a number of different things they play for. They have a full season where they play, 38 games, I think, and the winner at the end of the season is the one that has the best record through 38 games. They're the winner That's their, they don't have that playoff that we have in America. But they do have other cups that they play for, whether it's the Champions League, where you get to play the other great teams in Europe. But they also have a local cup. And someone on the Chilton Auto Body text line, you can help me with this, at 888-957-9570. But there is a champion where, you know, a fourth-tier team in the league in England is taking on a Premier League team. And I forget the name of that cup that they play for, but at, it has some semblance of meaning to that country. It had to start somewhere, right? Maybe it didn't matter the first time. Maybe it didn't matter the 10th time. But now that they continue to play for that one trophy, you see that fourth-tier team knocking off a Liverpool and maybe making it a couple of extra rounds, and you start to see some things. Now, their tier system is different than what we have in the United States. But I think it would be interesting to start something in the NBA that maybe it doesn't mean anything for the first 5 years, but maybe it does start to build some legs. And you'd have to see the way the NBA puts it together. I think it's neat to be at the start of something and not just be someone who gloms onto the success of 100 years of whatever's happening in whatever trophy it is that they have, the Amazon Cup or whatever it happens to be.
I understand that. Yeah, and that would make sense. And I, you hit on the key point. These, there's a tradition to these various cups, and I don't pretend to know a lot about them, but as you describe it and what I do know, I understand that. Yeah, it's like the, this cup, that cup, they've had it for years. My fear for the NBA would be, as someone who, you know, wants to see the NBA continue to thrive and grow, because I love basketball and love the NBA, my fear would be in the first few years as you try to get this thing going, maybe I'm wrong, but my fear would be that you would actually do some damage to the product, because you're playing, one of the things that I think hurts the NBA is when you play games that are widely perceived as being meaningless. And I think the first few years, it's potentially a situation where you've got, it's the Amazon Cup games, and a lot of fans say, what? I don't care about that. I would hate to see the NBA actually do damage to the product by having these meaningless games in an effort to, within the next 3 to 5 years, actually generate more interest in this cup or that cup. I think the tradition is so well established that you play your season, then you have your playoffs, and you're playing for that one trophy, that NBA championship. I think that's so well established that I think it's going to be really hard to get people to care about your proposed Amazon, or the Freedman's. Let's call it the Freedman's Cup.
Let's call it the Freedman's Cup. I like that. That's a good idea. We'll call it the Freedman's Cup. How about this then? If you don't like an in-season tournament where there's a champion in the mid-season, and whether it's a, you know, some people like the idea of a knockout tournament, right? You list all the teams. It's just like the NCAA tournament. You're filling out a bracket. You're following it as a bracket style. You whittle it down, and then you have a mid-season champion. There's something there that you play for. Maybe it's a guarantee. Maybe the winner gets a guaranteed one seed in the real playoffs at the end of the season. Or would that make it a little more enticing if it was a one-and-done scenario for you?
Well, tell me if I'm wrong here. The real issue is this. It's not so much what I think or what fans think. It's about whether the players are going to care. If the players care and they're going to give it their best effort, maybe we've got something. But if players are looking at it as, hey, you know what? LeBron's thinking, I want to win another ring. I don't have the energy to give 100% as much as I love Friedman's, and I've seen that, you know, what they've done for Coase, and it's great. There's no question about that. That's not the issue whatsoever. But if the players aren't totally bought in, then I think you have an issue convincing the fans that they should buy in.
All right. How about this then? If maybe an in-season tournament doesn't work, how about the what we saw this year in the bubble for the final playoff spot, where the 9 had to play the 8. They had to beat him 2 times in order to get in and win that 8 spot. How about if we had teams 7 through 10 in each conference have a mini tournament to find the final 2 playoff spots in the East and the final 2 playoff spots in the West?
I don't know how you thought. I thought I was going to hate that, and I ended up kind of liking it. And I don't know if that was because of the strange circumstances this year or what. But that made some of those games. As I said, when you've got meaningless games, you can do damage to your product. And I think those games became more meaningful. So I think there's something that – what about you? I mean, I thought they were a lot more fun than I thought they were going to be.
I enjoyed them. They made the games – they were extra higher caliber playoff games, quite frankly. I really enjoyed the play-in. And I like the fact that Adam Silver is thinking outside the box, that you know, you could say, well, I went through an 82-game war to get the 8 seed. Shouldn't I get rewarded for that? You know what? we're changing the system on you. I'm not saying it's going to be fair, but we're changing the system on you. And I think that there's something to added playoff caliber games, because there have been years, Whitey, where we've seen teams that have won 45 games not get into the playoffs. And maybe this gives them that extra incentive. Maybe this gives them that extra chance. Now, usually the 7 and the 8 seed, they're going to lose to the 1 and 2 seed. Only happens a handful of times to the 1 and 2 get bounced by the lower seeded teams. But I do think the extra couple of games, listen, in an era where the league is losing revenue, this might give them a new TV package to sell.
Right, right.
And that's more revenue. And quite frankly, here's how I get the players on board a midseason tournament. That's another item I can sell to a network. That's more money we can put into the player pool. You want to have some excitement as a player, you're going to get more money if you play in this tournament. That's, to me, how you get them excited. Oh, and by the way, the cup I was talking about, which I should have known, the FA Cup is what they play for in England, where all the teams in the country are involved in this tournament, not just the Premier League teams with the championship level and Tier 2 and Tier 3 and Tier 4. They all are involved in a knockout tournament, and it's kind of a fun system to see. I would love to see that in the NBA. But for the playoff scenario, I absolutely enjoyed it. I thought it was great that it went on in the bubble. I hope the league is considering doing it again, because I think that's just another way. If you're someone who cares about the revenue side of it, it's another way to get revenue. And quite frankly, on the basketball side, Whitey, I like the fact that you had meaningful games once the season was done.
Can you perhaps clarify something for me? My understanding is that we're talking about tipping off the season in December. No fans, but no bubble. Is that right? We're talking about, in theory, and maybe they haven't gotten that far because there's obviously a lot to figure out between now and then. They're talking about playing in arenas without fans, but we're not talking about a bubble. Am I correct?
You are correct. And what they're thinking of doing on this is having, let's say, the Golden State Warriors are going east to play whoever it is. They're going to try to make it so that maybe you play a couple of games against the Knicks.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah. And a couple of games against the Nets. So you're staying in New York. We know the hotel going to be at. We know where you can be, you know, safe and comfortable. Obviously, they will have great deals with some of the best hotels in the world. And they will be taken care of, and it will be a safer scenario. But you will be picking up and going to different cities. And maybe you will play one team a couple of times. There, I saw one report that said maybe you'll play the Knicks 3 games in 4 days in New York, and you'll get those games out of the way, and then you'll come to another city and you'll play someone else a few different times. And so the way they schedule this is going to be very intriguing, but there will not be fans at first, unless there are some cities where they allow you a certain percentage of fans, and there may be a couple of arenas where you have 2,000, 3,000, 4,000 fans in there safely set apart. But I like the idea that they're trying to come back. I like the idea that they're thinking outside the box. 72 games, hey, maybe that's a precursor for what the future holds, Whitey. Do we need 82 games? I think we've heard players and teams say 82 is a long season. Maybe 72 is the new benchmark.
My understanding is one of the reasons they're considering having this series, and it's the Warriors against Portland, the second of a 3-game set here. But one of the reasons they're considering that is because they looked at the caliber of play in the bubble, and it was surprisingly high. And my understanding is that some of the players said, look, it's because we don't have to travel. We're all here. Not that they enjoyed being in the bubble, but they didn't have to travel. So the league was then trying to consider, okay, well, how can we minimize travel? And that was one of the things. And I know there's a lot of moving parts here, but one of the things they came up with is, okay, what if you travel to a city and then you stay there and play a few games? Maybe that will raise the caliber of play because players will be a little less road weary. So at least the NBA is taking advantage of the opportunity all of this provides right now to rethink some things, right? You got to applaud them for that.
The one thing I was hoping they would have tried in the bubble was to have the best 16 teams make the playoffs, not 8 from the East and 8 from the West. Take the best 16 and go 1 through 16, because you didn't have to worry about Portland and Miami squaring off in a first round where they're flying literally the diagonal width of the country, or length of the country, if you want to put it that way. You had everyone in the same location. Let's just take the top 16 teams, and the season was so weird to begin with that just calling the 16 would have been fine with me. I wish they would have gone to that, because I'd like to see them rethink how they name playoff teams. I don't like it when an Eastern team that's 38 or 39 wins into a year makes it into the playoffs, where there's a Western team with 44 wins that doesn't get into the playoffs. I want the best 16 to go for the cup. That's the way it should be.
I think they're going to stick to that format for the foreseeable, what we have now, eight in each conference, because I just think it's better for business, because you don't want, if you have a weak conference, again, one of the things you want to make sure you achieve is as few as possible meaningless games. And if the West is loaded, as we've seen over the last few years, and the East is, you know, really bad, like the NFC East, and you end up with a lot of meaningless games between, you know, the Hornets and the Nets are not a good example. I think that's what the current format is in place to prevent. So you're right. In terms of competitive integrity, it'd be way better. Take the top 16. But I don't think they can do that, because I think that would cause problems with a lot of meaningless games between your lesser teams in one conference or the other.
That'll be interesting to see how it plays out. It'll be interesting to see if they find a new way to determine draft order and teams when they draft. I had long been an advocate of a draft tournament where the teams that do not make the playoffs have their own elimination tournament, and the winner gets the first pick overall in the draft. And people would say, well, what's the incentive? Well, everyone has an incentive. If you're a player, your incentive is to get the best pick if you've got a multi-year contract with that team. If you don't have a contract with that team, your incentive is, I want to play and showcase my talents for a team that might want me next year. I've always thought that would be an interesting way to handle the draft. And again, another way to sell your product to a TV network out there, and that's where you're going to increase your revenue, and that's where player salaries are going to start to go up. So I would love to see them rethink how they work the playoffs. The lottery is fine. We all love the lottery. But, boy, I sure would love to see teams playing in a kind of a little knockout tournament to determine where you draft.
If I may ask you, speaking of the draft coming up, Sure. Let's say Bob Myers calls you, and this is not that far-fetched. Coz,
no.
You know, I got some things to do. I forgot, you know, I got to get ready for the Thanksgiving. I forgot I'm going to be too busy to handle the draft. Would you please handle the draft for me? We got second pick, and, you know, and he'll fill you in on everything. So what would, and Bob is great. We know that. But let's just say, hey, Coz, I trust you to do it. What do you do? How are you approaching this right now with the second pick?
Boy, I'll tell you something. I think that it's the wrong year to have the second overall pick in the draft. I think it's one of those years where you say, if this is me, if I can get a veteran who can help me now, and whoever that, to whatever I determine that to be, whether it's a different version of a power forward, whether it's a different version of a small forward, whether it's a big player, if I can get a veteran to help me now, I'm moving the number two pick. I would much rather have the veteran, the player there who can. I want adults in the room. My core right now, they're not long in the tooth, but they're veterans. They need veterans to win now. So that's what I would use the number two on. I wouldn't sit around. I would say, hey, just like they're doing. Boy, they're floating out that we like Wiseman. They're floating out there we like the kid from Georgia. They're floating out there that they like this kid from Israel who they tried out the other day. Oh, you know what? They could move back and take this kid from Israel. They could love that kid. I would love everybody on the board, because everyone thinks the Golden State Warriors are smarter than everyone else. Thank you, Joey Lightyears. And I mean that as a compliment. But I would then move that pick, and I would get a veteran as to whatever it is I felt was the best way to improve my team, because, Whitey, I got to win now.
Yeah. I'm with you. You trade down, so I end up trading the second pick for a player who can help me. Plus, I get, say, the 10th pick. I can take a guy like Tyrese Halliburton. I'm in better shape than I am if I use the second pick on someone like Wiseman. I'm with you 100%, Coz. Good luck with that.
All righty, sounds good. We've got more to come. We've got to get back into the National Football League. I want to play a game called Who Are You Better Than? All right, when I look at the 49ers, they're 3-3, 500 through six games. We don't even know what they look like. But there are teams in the NFC that if the playoffs started tomorrow, there are a lot of teams ahead of the 49ers. Who are you better than? With Whitey Gleason and Jim Cozumel and you, we appreciate you listening today to 95.7 The Game.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.